I am Piero Lumumba here at the Lukenya Hills campsite in Machakos County in the Republic of Kenya, in our mother continent of Africa. And we once again must refocus at slavery. Whenever slavery is discussed, it is the externalized version of it that receives attention and scrutiny, so that we talk about our kith and kin who left the continent and went to different parts of the world. And that we pretty much know about. And their impact and their treatment we pretty much know about. But the question that does not receive the attention that it deserves is the disruption that slave trade occasioned in the mother continent. It is true to say that before the advent of the colonizers, like all societies, African communities were engaged in trade and sometimes conflict. That this trade and conflict sometimes involved holding people prisoners. It is true in West Africa, as it was true in South, and as it was true in the West, and even in the North. But before the advent of slavery, history tells us that there was trade, particularly if you look at western part in the Iberian Peninsula. The Spaniards and the Portuguese traded with the Wolof and other communities, the Maalinke, the Mandinka, in that part of the world. In East Africa, there was also trade, as well as in Southern Africa. But when slavery came and the appetite for slaves came, communities were made to fight and were actually, in certain cases, recruited for the purpose of capturing other neighboring communities and selling them into slavery, so that there were active slave markets. Let's look at West Africa, for example. If you go to areas such as the castles, they are to be found along what was then known as the Gold Coast. You'll find castles and you'll discover that when slaves were being brought, they were not indigenous of those coastal areas. They were captured, so that when people were commodified, it is true that they were Africans in the continent who collaborated with the external slave traders. And it is instructive that a few African chiefs have actually apologized in the recent past that they were forced to engage in selling their own people. In Southern Africa, Queen Nzinga of the Ndongo and Matamba, who resisted the Portuguese, is on record as having actually sold 200,000 slaves to those who are engaged in slave trade. If you look at the area of East Africa, there was a notorious person called Tipu Tip. And Tipu Tip came out of the fact that when he shot his gun, it sounded tip tip, and they named him Tipu Tip. And indeed, if you go to the slave markets in Zanzibar, we never talk about this as loudly as we should, that the first people to actually start enslaving Africans were Arabs. And even when we talk about reparation, we never talk about the Arabs. The Arabs, particularly the Omanis, were taking Africans, and Zanzibar was a trade post, as was Bagamoyo and even Pemba. So the most important thing perhaps that deserves attention, you can imagine the disruption that it occasioned. Whole populations are dislocated. You are able-bodied men and women are taken away. So agriculture is dead. Certain communities are completely decimated, particularly the coastal communities where there was a concentration of slavery. So when you are raided by the next communities from the hinterland, there are no men to protect you. It is true. And historians and anthropologists tell us that there are communities that were completely devastated because Slavery disrupted the affairs. Empires such as Benin, the reason why it became easy to raid them was because their men and women had been taken mining. If you go to places such as in the areas of Timbuktu, in the Dogon in Mali, were people who knew about astronomy before Galileo Galilei and Copernicus. This was great science that was going on in those areas. And the net effect is that slavery devastated the areas. Many of us will remember that in those early days, the Mali Empire, during the reign of Sundiata Keita, he was an individual who had come up with a human rights charter, the Kurukan Fuga, which is known as the Mandan Charter, which was before many of these charters that talk about human rights. The story is told to us of Mansa Musa, who moved with gold on his pilgrimage to Menka, and the world economy was disrupted for years. But when slavery and slave trade came, all this was disrupted. Organized mining, the technology that accompanied mining, was completely devastated, and all sectors were disrupted in that way. The other thing that it does is that it also encouraged inter what were then or could be characterized as tribal warfare. If you look at some of the fighting that took place, particularly the movement of individuals like Shaka of the Amazulu, it may not be directly traceable to slave trade, but you could see that the movement into the hinterland and the conquest was also encouraged. In Kenya, people such as the Akamba were not only involved in ivory trade, but at a certain time they were the carriers for the slave trade. People like Henry Morton Stanley and Redman were using Africans, and societies were devastated. So that the impact of slavery in the continent of Africa is so devastating that when I talk about it and I read history book, I am of the view that we have just scratched on the surface. If we were to examine the current situation and we go region by region, we ask ourselves, what happened to the Mandinka or the Malinke? What happened to the Yoruba, or what happened to the Igbo? What happened to the Kanuri as a result of slavery, or what happened to the Ga or to the Akan? By dint of slavery, you'd be amazed at how they suffered in a major way. Why is it that the Ovambo and the Ovimbundu in Angola, in a country that was once the pride of Queen Nzinga, of the Ndongo and the Batamba, which was very well organized, what happened? If you go to Dahomey, Dahomey had the first army of all women, the Agogie, normally referred to as the Amazon women. It was the first in the continent of Africa, in the world, where women organized themselves as a military unit. What happened to them? They were devastated by slavery, because when the slave masters came, they were disorganized, the military techniques and tactics were undermined, and in that way, you left a disorganized community. What was the other impact? Because traditional knowledge was also compromised. When you took away people who were able-bodied, you took away their spiritualists, you took away their medicine people, people who knew which herb treated what, they were devastated, so that disease acquired a monster character in the continent of Africa. Africa was being devastated. Sleeping sickness became rampant. Polio became rampant. All these diseases, because those who our doctors had been taken away. Hunger across the continent, because you could no longer till the land. Remember, Europe was going through agrarian revolution, and therefore the mules that we were using were able-bodied men. So that in the people in the continent of Africa, those who remained are those who are frail, those who are sick, those who could not participate in meaningful agriculture, and the net effect is that hunger afflicted Africa from the west to the east, from the south to the north. And these are things that are not documented. The other impact of slave trade was what I characterize as spiritual confusion. You went into societies which were ordered, which had their own systems of governance. If you went to the Oromo, the Agada system, which was based on the edge set. If you went to the Maasai, they had their own systems. You went to the Ashanti, you went to the Ga, you went to the Yoruba, they had their own systems. And all these systems were disrupted because in certain cases, even the heads and spiritual leaders were taken away. So governance systems in Africa were disrupted. As if Africa was a clean slate, they came and found people who were chiefs and they said, no, we do not recognize your chiefs. We do not recognize them. They are only useful to the extent that they are going to be slave raiders. And our governance systems were therefore disrupted in a fundamental way. And our technology was also disrupted. It is recorded that in places such as Benin and the Benin Wall, those who are in the business of calculation say at its splendor, was longer than the Great Wall of China. The technology that was being used in Timbuktu, in Benin, disappeared because all your technologies disappeared. The technology that was being used to build places such as Lalibela, although Ethiopia was not devastated in that regard, the Great Zimbabwe Walls, all these were disrupted because of slavery. So whenever we talk about slavery, we must also remember that it is not just the act and the atrocity of carrying away people and taking them to Europe and America and the Caribbean. The impact that it had on the ground perhaps was more devastating. Perhaps it is even alive today. Perhaps the inferiority complex that you see in very many African societies is a combination not only of slavery but colonization. But slavery devastated many things. Africans used to mine. After slavery, they were no longer mining for themselves. Africans used to have their own way of doing things in agriculture. They were no longer doing that. Africans used to have their own religion. They were no longer engaging in that. Africa used to have their own science. They were no longer using that. Africans used to have their own military skills and other things. They were no longer doing that. They swept it clean. And slavery literally carried the spirit and body of Africa and took it to foreign lands. That was the devastation that took place in the mother continent and is something that ought to be written about, ought to be investigated, and ought to be documented digitally and otherwise for these generations and generations yet to be born. Thank you very much. We are continuing apace discussing the continent of Africa, different dimensions, but we'll come back again next time to continue the discussion and interrogation. Thank you very much.